see if I can pick up where we left. So we're going to hear Senator Bonhoeff's bill, because I am afraid that at the pace we were going earlier, Senator Bonhoeff may have to be here for a...
We only have 32 more amendments.
There you, that's exactly what I thought, Senator Bonhoeff. Now that we gave him a three-hour break, there is no telling what is going to happen after that. We only have 13 amendments, so there is a strong possibility that we have three times the number now. So anyway, Senator, we're going to hear your bill first and then give you the opportunity to call your testifiers. And Senator, how many people do you have?
Just one, and it'll be brief,
fantastic.
Madam Chair.
Thank you. We would totally appreciate that. Go ahead, Senator. Let's call the meeting to order, and we have before us Senate File 836. Senator Bonhoeff.
Madam Chair, I do have an amendment that would put the bill in the shape I'd like it.
Thank you.
And that's the A2.
It's coming, Senator.
Thank you. And just so members are aware, that what the A2 does is it responds to concerns that have been brought up along the way in another unnamed body. And so this A2 addresses the concerns that had been brought up and fixes that to alleviate the controversy.
Thank you, Senator.
We like that, Madam Chair.
I appreciate that.
Okay.
Yours?
So if somebody could move that.
Any questions on the amendment?
If somebody could move it.
Yes, Senator. My apologies. I was giving some information. Yeah. On the A2 amendment, any questions? If not, all of those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed say no. The amendment is adopted. Senator.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I am a strong believer in charter schools and have been proud of Minnesota's reputation as being really the first in the country to enact charter school legislation. In addition, several years back, I see Senator Saltzman sitting here. We all know how hard Senator Saltzman worked on strengthening our oversight capability with regard to charter schools. But there has been a persistent problem that we have not yet addressed, and that is, what do we do about the low-performing charter schools? All charter schools are not good, just like all of everything is not good. And so we want to have a mechanism that moves us towards closing charter schools. And I have learned that everything is incremental, never moves as fast as I'd like. I'd like us to just say, we close low-performing charter schools. But nothing ever works quite that simply. So the bill before us is an attempt to put in just some common-sense measures that begin to address this issue. It requires charter school authorizers to hold their portfolio schools accountable for each of their students' academic growth and performance. It makes charter schools performing in the bottom 25% of all public schools for 3 consecutive years eligible for closure. And if an authorizer chooses not to close a school, this bill requires it to provide a public written justification for its action. And with that, I would turn it over to Al Fan to provide testimony.
Mr. Fan, welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Members of the committee, thank you very much for allowing me to comment on this bill. My name is Al Fan, and I am the executive director for a nonprofit that is working and committed to expanding both the number of high-quality public schools in the state and also the number of children from low-income families attending those schools. We focus on 3 strategic initiatives as an organization. Our first one is to incubate new charter schools. And to date, we have already helped launch 6 schools in the Twin Cities. And our 2-year fellowship program is designed to launch another 10 by 2017. Second, we also provide leadership and capacity building support to high quality and high potential schools in the area. And to that end, we work with 28 of the highest performing schools in the area, in the metro area, including such schools as Harvest Prep, Mastery, Hiawatha, and Global Academy, schools that have literally closed the achievement gap and are serving, changing the lives of hundreds of children today. And then finally, we advocate for policies to encourage the growth and expansion of high-quality public schools. I am here to testify in support of SF 836 And I just wanted to acknowledge and thank you. Thanks to all the authors who have signed under this bill. Senator Bonhoff, thank you. Senator Peterson, Clausen, and Senator Nelson also are authors. Thank you very much. I am supporting this bill because we are faced with a moral imperative to urgently create more high-quality schools to serve all our children, especially those in the urban communities with the highest concentration of low-income families. This bill does three very important common-sense things to close the achievement gap. First, it encourages families and students to attend higher-performing schools. Second, it encourages authorizers of charters to hold their schools to higher academic performance standards. And third, it encourages all schools to improve their academic performance. Specifically, SF 836, and I will refer you to the backgrounder document that was in your packet, would allow an authorizer to close a charter school at the end of the current 2012-2013 school year if the charter has been in the bottom 25th percentile of the state's accountability system for three consecutive years, as Senator Bonhoff mentioned. But it does provide the flexibility for the authorizer to have the final say and gives them the option not to close the charter if they feel otherwise. One of the arguments we've heard is that this legislation really isn't necessary because authorizers already have the authority to terminate a charter. But a recent study conducted by the Fordham Institute has identified Minnesota's charter sector as, and I quote, displaying the lowest rates of closure among the 10 states studied, end quote. We have also heard the concern that it isn't fair to close a school based on a single state test. We agree. That's why we've built into our bill 3 years of test data and have given the authorizer discretion to make the final decision as to whether or not to close the school if they strongly believe that the test scores do not accurately reflect the school's true performance. However, we believe that a basic level of academic achievement must be realized by all public schools in the state. To be ranked in the bottom 25% of all schools for three consecutive years is, in our mind, a very low bar. These are schools that are not only showing low proficiency rates, but also very low growth rates. In other words, it's just not enough to raise the ceiling. We have to raise the floor as well. Alex Medler from the National Association of Charter School Authorizers, who testified in the House on Tuesday and has also provided a two-page handout in your packet, actually describes this provision as an authorizer empowerment bill that helps authorizers focus on the most challenging schools in their portfolio and gives them the greater authority to close those persistently low-performing schools with less risk of litigation or community pushback. In addition to the National Association of Charter School Authorizers, several authorizers in Minnesota, as well as many education reform groups, have also indicated their support for this initiative. We know that we also cannot ignore parents in this difficult conversation. We know that when schools close, communities will experience a sense of loss, and families will have to make tough changes. But we also cannot ignore the negative impact that these schools are having on our children and their future lives. We must change the public conversation in education. For too long, we have emphasized creating a system of choice to offer our families. It's time that we start to talk about creating a system of good choices for all children. The good news is that there are a growing number of better choices. A small group of charter schools are proving that poverty and family circumstances do not automatically equate to poor educational performance. Minnesota, as the leader in creating charter schools for the nation, has an obligation to continue demonstrating its leadership by creating more high-performing schools that will serve all children and by embracing greater accountability for our schools, because we all want what's best for our children. We have a crisis in our public education system that demands our leadership and our commitment to ensure that every child in every neighborhood has an equal opportunity for a great education. I strongly urge you to pass SF 836 and support our efforts to create more high-quality public schools for our children. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Fant. Any questions from Senator Chamberlain?
I'm a strong advocate of charter schools, so whenever somebody comes up with legislation to do something to them, I'm a little leery. But I know you've got a great background. I'm all kinds of accolades for Harvest Prep and Best Academy and all those. It's wonderful. They're great examples for the rest of the public school system. Anyway, aren't charter schools already under the the watchful eye of MDE to an extent. They are an extension of our public schools. So aren't they already under the watchful eye? And I know in the language here, they are an authorizer can already terminate those agreements. So if they're under the watchful eye of the MDE and the authorizer can terminate those agreements, and it is the choice of the parents to send them to the school, that's what I'm trying to reconcile here. I have a couple short follow-ups.
Senator Bonner.
Madam Chair, Senator Chamberlain, and I'll let Mr. Fan take the bulk of your question, but I think we owe it to the families who attend charter schools that if their student is in a school for three consecutive years that is in the lowest performing, that we want them to know that. We want to make sure that if their authorizer chooses to keep that school open, that they have to tell the public why they're making that choice so that that parent can be duly informed. I think oftentimes, I mean, we don't know. We send our kids to a school, and we may not know, in fact, what the overall outcomes are for that school. Mr. Fan,
if you could be brief, please.
Yeah, Madam Chair, Senator Chamberlain, thank you for the question. I would echo everything that Senator Bonhoff said. I would also say that one of the things we know is that there is a lot of variation in the contracts between authorizers and charter schools with regard to the level of rigor they hold the schools to. So the purpose of this is to use an objective measure to help establish a common bar by which to evaluate the lowest performing charter schools and also to give them additional authority, if you will, to do the work, because it is challenging. I think many authorizers don't necessarily close the schools they want to close for various reasons.
All right, just one quick follow-up, Madam Chair.
If you could be brief, Senator Chamberlain. Thank you.
So
we heard these bills. Senator Wolf was the author. Pam Wolf was the author before. So we have heard these before. Senator Chamberlain.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. I have read this, and it looks like you're not saying they have to close. It's saying it gives them some support, like you said, some background. But one last question is, I'm just curious, what do we do with low-performing public schools? Do we close them or give them a reason to? What happens there?
Madam Chair, Senator Chamberlain, there's actually a great deal of oversight with regard to low-performing public schools, and we've got the turnaround program, you know, associated with Race to the Top. We've put a great amount of attention, and the commissioner could speak to it in much greater detail, but I assure you it is not escaping the watchful eye of the department.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Any more questions? Senator Dahl.
Madam Chair, thank you. Senator Bonhoff, won't there always be a bottom 25% even when you start closing other schools? And I also worry just a little bit about the demographics. And I know you have some exceptions for students with disabilities, and, you know, I don't know if it accounts for areas of poverty and so forth, but just have those concerns.
Senator Bonhoff?
I'm going to let Mr. Fan.
Madam Chair and Senator, thank you for the question. In terms of the 25% cutoff, it is a cut score based on all the public schools in the state of Minnesota. So if we were to close all the lowest performing charter schools below that 25 percentile, then there would be no more schools to close. So it's not a rotating number. It doesn't mean that there will be always be 25% of our schools closed every year. It's an absolute cutoff based on all the schools in the state. And so if we improve the charter's performance, then there would be no charters in the bottom 25%, which would be a good thing. And with regard to the exemptions were taken out with the amendment that was just moved earlier. So there are no exclusions. All schools are held to the same standard. It is up to the authorizer to make the case to keep the school open if they feel it's justified.
Senator Nelson.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and Senator Bonhoff for bringing this bill. Certainly we want to make sure we have high-performing charters in our state. And our charters kind of remind me a lot of the achievement gap in this state. We have very high-performing students, but we also have this achievement gap. And I kind of get the sense that we have a similar type of gap in our charter schools. And I see that this is a way to close that. I do have one question, though, and maybe you've addressed it and I missed it. But, you know, we do have credit recovery charters, and that's a different Cool. It's reaching a different audience. It's reaching those kids who have already dropped out or are ready to drop out. And I want to make sure that this very well-intended, needed piece of legislation, I want to know how it affects the credit recovery charter schools.
Mr. Fan.
Madam Chair and Senator Nelson, thank you for the question. It might be more appropriate for the state to comment, but I don't believe there are charter schools actually designated as credit recovery charter schools. It's not a designation that's recognized. And we, with the amendment that was moved earlier, the intent is to allow the authorizer to justify keeping a school open for a number of reasons. So if it serves a very unique population of high-risk high school students, or whether it's special education or whatever, the authorizer has the ability to justify keeping that school open despite its scores, and this allows all the authorizers and all the schools to have the same option, if you will.
Thank you. That answers. That's enough of an answer for me.
Thank you, Senator.
Thank you, Senator Nelson. Senator Clausen, did you have a question?
I did not, no.
Okay.
Senator, Madam Chair, yes. This really is a new bill. Senator Wolf didn't have this bill. It's a brand new proposal.
Oh, it's a new one. Okay, thank you, Senator. Yeah. Senator, I want to ask you a question. I have been told that a few schools in my district may close as a result of this. But one of the issues that is concerning to a couple of schools that serve predominantly immigrant youth who have been, who just, you know, came to the country as older kids who didn't have really academic preparation or language preparation, for whom we don't have a plan B. So they are in a school which actually, because of the population that they serve and actually have more than one, it will be a low-performing school as a result of it. But these kids, you know, have a place. They are making progress. I think, you know, Senator Kent and I have been working about this whole issue of how do we prepare kids to pursue some kind of, you know, better skill and just, you know, a technical career, or what is that we need to do with this population. Could you elaborate on what can my district do in order, because we don't I don't have a response for these kids. Where do I send them?
Madam Chair, who is their authorizer, I guess, would be the question, because I would assume that the authorizer would not close that school. There is no mandate in this bill that says if they're a school that's had low-performing scores for 3 years that they close. Rather, this bill has the authorizer has to just say publicly why they're not going to close. And I would guess the authorizer would say they wouldn't close that school because it is serving the public good, if it is.
Mr. Fan.
Madam Chair, thank you for the comment. I think it's in your district specifically, one of the schools that we like to talk about is Hiawatha Leadership Academy. And what they have been able to do with a population that is over three-quarters ELL students, they have been able to, deliver proficiency scores that are the best in the city, especially for that population. So I think what we're trying to encourage both authorizers and schools to do is to look at the schools that are doing this work the best and recognize that if their school is not, there are other options available for them. Again, to Senator Bonhoff's point, it doesn't automatically close them, but it should highlight where their school is and hopefully identify other options, better choices.
Thank you. Members, I think we need to close and just take a vote because I think we need to move on. So thank you so much, Senator Bonhoeffer.
Thank you.
Mr. Fan, for all the work that you do on behalf of our children and your advocacy. So,
thank you.
On Senate File 836, all of those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Excuse me. So this is to refer these to finance. So all of those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed say no.
No.
The bill is not approved. Thank you, Senator. Thank you, Mr.
Division.
Fan. Division has been called. All of those in favor signify by, please raise your hands. Those opposed?
Can the division be recorded in the journal?
Let's make sure.
Okay.
Do we record?
No,
it was okay. So it cannot be recorded. On a 5-4, the motion does not pass. Thank you, Senator Bonner. Thank you, Mr. Pan. Members, let's go back to what we were doing. And hopefully we have some members who are here who may have some amendments. So we need to proceed with the members that are here, and hopefully others will join because they are in different committees.
Madam Chair.
Senator Chamberlain.
I have A11, and this is a simple amendment.
The A11? Is it A11? Senator, could you point us to the bill?
What is this?
Well, it's several pages. I'll just tell you what it is. This deletes the it takes out the repeal of the grad standards. So Senate File 1103, I think it was Senator Dahl's, repeal the grad standards. So it takes that out and all the reference to it. Page 20, 22, 38, 30, 58, 59. So there's a lot of different locations throughout the bill that we have that this 1103 is referenced. And I think we discussed it quite extensively the other night, but Madam Chair and members, this is critical. As we know, we've got data that shows that that having the grad standards is important, that it works. It has been working from reading and writing. That has been it has not been scaring children. They have been improving on their test scores. The only one that has not been improving is the math, and that's what we don't do anymore. So I would urge members to consider this thoughtfully. I don't think we're doing service to the kids by taking this away. I know some people have a different opinion on that. They believe that the testing is bad for children, but I do not think it is. It hasn't been for all of human history. None of us like tests necessarily, but they give goals and benchmarks, and they show where the kids have to be, and people will know what a diploma means. So I think this is very important for the kids, for their success, and I don't think parents will really think it's a good idea to take that away. We've done a lot with education over the years, so I would urge people to support this and take another look at how we're going to improve this. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Senators, any questions on that? Any comments? We've talked about this. We've talked about it time and time again. We dedicated a number of hours to this, and it's time for us to, you know, I hate to bring this while some members are not here, but that's what is before you. So I'm going to...
As for roll call, Madam Chair.
Brad, we need to...
Madam Senator. Chair, do you think we should, in courtesy to Senator Dahl...
That's right.
...get him in here?
He's across the hall room.
Oh, yeah, this is his bill.
Yes, Senator Dahl is presenting... I've been told that Senator Dahl is presenting... I think he's worked hard enough to do this, and I think you know how to vote, but obviously we're going to vote on a partisan way. So, Senator Nelson.
Yes, can I make some comments?
Yes, Senator Nelson, go ahead.
I think this is an important amendment because one of the things we've talked about so much in this committee is the fact that we want to make sure that our students are ready for college and career. And right now, 70% of our students who graduate are not ready for college, 70%. And that same number, 70% of the jobs in less than 5 years are going to require post-secondary education.
A11.
And I think it is incumbent upon us to make sure that we are graduating students who do meet the diploma means something. And we have talked in this committee about the importance of making sure our students are ready for the workforce. And we've talked about the skills gap and that employers aren't getting, they don't have access, they don't have enough qualified candidates for jobs. And to not have a diploma that is tied to achievement literally makes our graduation and the diploma meaningless. Now, we should be discussing
two things which I haven't heard, which is, one, is the test, are the tests appropriate? Well, we could discuss that, and we should look at that. And secondly, once we determine that we're measuring the right things, then we need to find out how can we prepare our kids to succeed. And I think this is a bad solution. I understand the problem, but the bill as it stands now, which is deleting the requirement for any type of expectations for what our diplomas mean, that, I believe, is bad policy. That is merely, we might as well give our kids a time card. That's all it is. It's a time card. It's saying we expect you to sit in class for this amount of time, and it, that's basically what that is. So I firmly support Senator Chamberlain's amendment. We must make sure that we are doing our students and our families and our employees at least the somewhat certainty that when a student graduates from high school, they have some basic reading skills. And I also, Senator Claussen, I understand the concern about the math skill piece, and I think there's room to work on that. I truly do. I've taken that math, that basic skills math test, and I took senior level math all through high school, did great, didn't take it in college, education major. I can say that test is can have some issues. But I don't think we should throw them all out because we might not have them refined properly. So I encourage a yes vote on Senator Chamberlain's amendment.
Members, as I said, we've talked about this. You know, people spent 6 months doing this, gave us a recommendation. I will entertain a couple of comments. Senator Claussen.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. I really believe that we're on the right track, though, with the ACT suite of assessments, the Explore, the Plan, the ACT, because it gives us that college readiness score early on where we can start remediation with students that need it. I'm going to dispute the 70% that you've quoted. I don't believe that's true. I'm not sure where you're getting that.
From ACT.
Okay.
It includes the kids who don't go to college.
Okay, so we talk about this. But we had a task force, you know, working on it for months. So we had a discussion. We moved some language, and now we're trying to delete that language. Senator
Claussen. Yes, Madam Chair. I believe we're on the right track, and I would support that we keep the language as is written.
Okay, members, on the A11 amendment, all of those in favor
say aye. Roll call.
Excuse me, we have a roll call.
We won't forget this
Claire,
one.
Be ready.
Yes. Would you be interested in looking at it too?
Senator Torres Ray.
No.
Senator Dahl.
No.
Something like this. Senator Nelson.
Yes.
Senator Carlson.
No.
Senator Chamberlain.
Yes.
Senator Claussen?
No.
Senator Franzen?
No.
Senator Johnson?
No.
Senator Kent?
No.
Senator Nenow?
Yes.
Senator Peterson?
Yes.
Senator Rood? Senator Thompson?
Yes.
Senator Wieger?
No.
Senator Wicklund?
No.
We have five yes and nine no's. The amendment is not adopted. Senator Nelson.
This is so important. I'm going to ask just for a little indulgence a question. Is it possible to offer this amendment, what I'd like to get at is go ahead and delete these grad standards after we have the alignment with the ACT. So what I'm
Senator,
worried
about
is
you have to prepare an amendment.
And
you have to prepare an amendment.
I will, and perhaps not for tonight, but maybe in another spot.
Right, right.
Thank you.
Right. You will have more time to prepare other amendments. You know that. We're going to go to the floor, so this continues.
But I just want to,
you know, remember. You think you'll see these again, Senator?
Of course, yeah, I will. But, you know, Senators, what I want to do, you know, we had a process, and we went through this. So I don't want to undo what members have done. And they've worked on this for hours, days. So to come, you know, day after they pass this to just delete it, I mean, it will happen if you get the votes on the floor, no question about it. So work on your amendments and continue. We have the next amendment. Who wants to go next? Senator, do you have an amendment?
No, I'll move the bill if there's no amendment. No, sure.
I was hoping somebody would say that. Senator Wigger.
Madam Chair, I don't have the amendment number, but it was for St. Paul Schools, and I believe it's
the
a technical.
It's the
department
A4
supports
amendment.
It. And the A4, I'd move the A4 amendment and would ask Ms. Gilbert if she could explain. It has to do with the PSEO and transportation. And I understand there's no cost impact, and it's just needed. It's in Senator Cohen's bill, which has some bonding provisions.
Ms. Gilbert.
Madam Chair, members of the committee.
On the A4 amendment.
Yep, I'm Mary Gilbert from the St. Paul Public Schools, and this amendment is adding language to the governor's provision regarding PSEO transportation. Under current law, a district can provide transportation to students going to PSEO if it's along regular routes and if it's at no cost to the district. The governor's bill struck if it's at no cost for the district. This amendment adds language that says that the district could also do it if it had an articulated program with a post-secondary institution. Because if we have an arrangement, or Irondale has an arrangement where they may want to bring their seniors to the school, maybe because they want to use the CAT lab or whatever, the current law doesn't allow it. So that actually clarifies that districts can have an arrangement and they can provide transportation under those situations. And it's completely permissive on the part of districts. It doesn't require them to do it. It just gives them the option.
Senators, this will be part of section – we didn't say that, Senator Wigger. This will be part of section 2, and it will be added to the next subdivision, correct? It will be having so it's section 2 in your page 1.
Right. And then the second part of the amendment clarifies what's going on now with the McKinney-Vento homeless transportation. Under the federal McKinney-Vento law, we can provide transportation to students from the school of record. Kindergarten kids don't have a school of record because they've never been to school before, or it may be that a student applied for a different school and got into, for example, a gifted and talented program, and so the school of record might be different for the previous year. So this simply allows a district to transport siblings to the same school if they're providing transportation and they're both homeless. It just keeps families together in this terrible situation that they're in. We've actually had whole families leave a school because they didn't want to split up the kindergarten child from the rest of the kids.
Members, do you have any questions? Senator Clausen.
For the homeless students, would that also apply to the transporting to the same district, but perhaps not the same school?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, there may be, obviously, if they're in junior high and they have to, you get transportation till the end of the school year under the McKinney-Vento law. And so this is just to address making sure the siblings, if they want to all be in the same school, can all attend the same school, regardless of whether they had that school of record in the previous year.
Okay, so the defining point is the school of record.
Correct. Correct. And there's
and for
no
kindergarten,
cost. Right, and there's no cost to the district because the kids are already getting a ride to the school.
I understand. Thank you for that clarification.
Thank you, Ms. Gilbert. Any more questions, members? If not, on the A4 amendment, all of those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed say no. The amendment is adopted. Members, I have an amendment. It's the A16 amendment.
Where did this go? On page 33. It's a new section. And I don't remember who was going to speak for this. We have the testifiers who wanted to speak on this issue. Now the person who was going to explain. Who is the person who wanted to explain this? Mr. Landell, is Mr. Landell here? Because I do want to explain, I want him to explain this. If he's not here, we can wait.
He's in the House. So let's wait on this one. Sorry, members, I thought I could be. But I think it's important that he's here so he can explain what it is. Let's see. What else do we have? Senator Wigger.
Madam Chair, I move to reconsider the A8 amendment.
Senator Wigger moves to reconsider the A8 amendment. Senator Wigger.
Yes. Madam Chair, members, this was the amendment we discussed regarding the compulsory attendance issue, and I think that some of the information may not have been clear. It did not relate to the age 18, and we've had some discussion with members, some about it. I've tried to call some of you and to say I'm going to offer another amendment if this passes, which would be the A19, and it's just, you know, so if you vote yes and deleting what we did, then the amendment before you, which I would move, would say you're in school until 16. And that's, you've got to be in school until through age 16. And then if you have, if you're 17, as it is now, you could withdraw if your parent or guardian agreed. And so that's basically what I would offer. You have to be in school until 16. And that would be offered if this one prevailed.
So, members, if you're clear, just I'm going to explain the specifics, and then you can go into detail into the idea. So the motion that Senator Wigger has before you is to bring the language back, reinstate the language, so that he can amend that language, because I think the issue of age is what made some of our members who voted originally for this kind of really, they did not that age was problematic. And so I think Senator Wigger corrected that. And if you wish to give him that opportunity to reinstate that language and then correct that issue after the language is back. Senator Nino, Senator Peterson.
Thank you, Madam President, Madam Chair. Procedurally, we would need to vote to reconsider that vote would need to prevail. Then we would have the question before us again. The amendment could either be withdrawn or we would revote, and that vote, if the amendment was not withdrawn, that vote would have to fail, in which case the amendment would not pass. And then we could get to Senator Wigger's A19 or whatever at that point. So procedurally, that's the path that we'll be following.
That's correct.
Yes.
That's correct, Senator Nina. Mm-hmm. So did we get that? Are people clear? So we're just going to so the first vote is on reinstating the language so that he can...
But to reconsider.
To reconsider, sorry. So the first vote is to reconsider, then the next two... Yes, Senator Nelson.
So, Madam Chair, is this the time for a question then about the
reconsidering?
Well, is this a question about what is meant by 16? Like, in other words, you must be in school until your 17th birthday. Okay, just need some clarification. So, okay. You must be in school until you hit your 17th birthday.
Yes, or you would be truant.
Or you graduate. Understand. All right.
Some students graduate at 15, but
I'm waiting for it.
So, Madam Chair?
Senator Chamberlain.
Yeah, so I think before we would choose to reconsider, well, we could reconsider and then we can choose whether or not to put it back in.
Sure.
So maybe, I'll wait for the question then.
Okay.
Because it depends on what's in his new amendment.
Yeah.
A lot depends on that. Thank you.
Okay, so the motion right now is to reconsider our vote on the 8-8 amendment. Okay? All of those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Aye. Oppose? The request for reconsideration passes. So, Senator Nino.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Now we have the question before us. I'm going to ask if we can break protocol a little bit. If Senator Wigger could explain what his proposed amendment is going to be, because that would really probably drive the result of the final vote on this, and also would maybe give us some time to get the maker of the motion on the amendment, Senator Thompson, back in the room so he can participate in the discussion. I sent
sense,
him a text,
Senator,
but I'll go see if I can run him down in the hallway.
Yes, and Madam Chair, Senator Nino, I did talk to Senator Thompson extensively about it, and I would reflect that there wasn't as much heartburn, and we understood where each other was coming from. So the intent... If we voted down the amendment before us, then would to have another amendment that says you need to be in school, it's compulsory, through age 16, through until your 17th birthday, you must be in school. If you aren't in school, you're truant. It's not 18. You have to be in school until you hit your 17th birthday. Now you have to be in school until your 16th birthday. So it's a year jump. It's one additional year. And so not as dramatic, perhaps, as the other proposal. And if you were to drop out at age 17, as it does now, you would need a guardian or parent's consent. That would be the intent of that. And as I've pointed out to some of the members, I have Matamita High Schools. They have like a 98% grad rate. White Bear has got a great, you know, I'm really trying to reach out, especially to St. Paul, Minneapolis, and some of these schools where you've had testimony from superintendent saying, you know, we'd like to have this additional tool. And again, it's going to save some students, not all. We know things happen, but for those that we can reach, and you know, there's data both ways, you know, Senator Peterson on that, but it's in response to testimony. So hopefully, you know, I brought it down a little bit more, and that's what's before us.
Again, with the protocol piece, is it possible to get the A19 just this, I mean, his suggestion? Could we see that?
Sure. I'm fine with that, Madam Chair. If that,
would that be fine?
Because your decision to entertain this and bring back the language and fix it depends on your decision to adopt this. So if you want to see it, I suppose.
Madam
I
Chair.
Don't know the protocol, but I think it's the right thing to do.
Yeah. And so if the A19 could be distributed, and on the A19, it's what I just explained, except at line 1.6, I need to do an oral amendment that makes it clear that any student who is 17 years old who seeks to withdraw, you know, must get that permission from the parent, and as we have in law now. Right now it says anyone between 16 and 18. This says any student who is 17 years old. And that would, I'll have an oral amendment, and that's what I would be offering on the A19. If we voted no, which I would urge on the A8 amendment before us.
So members, if you could review that, and then, you know, we would proceed to, if you agree, to take a vote on reinstating the language so that we can clean it. Senator Nino.
Madam Chair, just procedurally, now that we have the maker of the motion back in the room, if Senator Thompson is comfortable with this amendment, he could simply withdraw his amendment at this time, and the question would no longer be before the body. If he's not, then we can proceed to a vote.
I think we voted on your amendment already, right? Mm-hmm.
No.
On Senator Thompson.
But to reconsider now, the question before us is...
That's before us here. I said what I was going to offer. Here it goes.
Oh, the original amendment. Okay, gotcha.
I'm sorry I was stuck outside, Madam Chair. I apologize. Too many things to do at the same time.
I know.
So just to be clear then, Senator Wieger has offered to change the age from, or to just
18.
Keep people in school through age 17?
Yep.
Through age 16. To the 17th birthday.
Until their 17th birthday.
Yeah, 17th
Oops.
Birthday.
17th birthday. And currently it's until their 16th birthday.
Yes.
All right.
Right.
And I would have to withdraw my
A8
in order to have a vote on that.
Correct.
All right. But so we didn't vote on my amendment earlier?
We did. That's my question. We did
vote,
and it is there.
Okay,
vote
to reconsider. Motion to reconsider. Sorry. I really do apologize.
Let's not do this exercise.
Trying to be courteous.
So right now there's a motion to reconsider.
So the vote right now before you... Members, is to reconsider the 8-8 amendment? No.
Madam okay. Chair, members,
staff,
the motion to reconsider passed. Now it's whether you want to vote on the A-8 again
exactly.
or not, or if Senator Thompson wants to withdraw his A-8. But it's okay.
Well, you know, I'm not the brightest bulb burning, but my guess is that if the motion to reconsider passed, there's a fighting chance the amendment goes down. So I'll withdraw it.
So now we can move into Senator Wieger.
Madam Chair, I would.
So you, move Senator Wieger, now you can move the A19
amendment.
And
at line 1.6, and counsel pay close attention, as I know she is.
Reaffirmation.
Delete the words between 16 and 18. Delete those words and insert who is 17. So, 17 years old.
You got it?
Yeah. Okay. So the amendment would read, delete 16 and 18, all of those three, and then insert who is.
Excuse me. Madam Chair, members, on 1.6, delete between 16 and 18 and insert who is, because 17 is already in there. So
That's right. Who is 17 years old?
Student who is 17 years old. Senator Peterson, that amendment.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and Senator Wieger. I'm not sure that the merits of the opposition argument have changed at all as it relates to this. I'm going to support it because, geez, you're persistent on this thing. This is like the fourth hearing we've had on this bill, I think, and you're in line for a scolding from Senator Torres Ray. I'm going to hold her to that. But in the interest of getting through this, I'll support it. I won't even ask for a roll call.
Thank you, Senator Peterson. Senator Frost and Senator Thompson.
Senator Wieger, if we pound you again, can we get it to 15? Is that possible?
Let's keep going down. Senator Glossin.
Two things. Do we need that word and in there? After the comma in 1.7?
So that's 1.7, from school, comma, and the student's parent.
Yeah, do we need the word and? It just, to me, doesn't read quite.
Apparently
correctly.
We do.
Seeks
to
do? True.
That's current law, but.
Yeah. Madam Chair, if we intend both the student and the student's parent to attend, we need the comma and.
Do, okay. And then is there another area where we need to change some language? This is withdrawal from school. Is there another area where we need to make this change where it talks about the compulsory law, age bracket?
To make it somewhere? Consistent. Senator, Ms. Butler.
Madam Chair, members, line 1.3 is making the change because that section is already contained in the A3 amendment. So, and as well as looking at 1.13 through 1.16 is all changing those.
Thank you. Thanks for pointing that out. Appreciate that.
And, Madam Chair, members, you have my commitment. If there's anything unintended, I know you'll bring it to my attention. And I will try to change that. Well, I will change it. It's to reflect what I said as intent.
Thank you, Senator. Any more questions? If not, on the amendment, all of those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye.
Those opposed say no. Thank you, members. What do we have next? I have an amendment, but I don't know. Mr. Lundell is not here. I don't know if I should present it.
Do you have his phone number?
It's kind of an important amendment. I don't have his number. Well, I guess it's not going to happen. They're not here. Okay, members. Who else needs to present an amendment? If not, I am ready for closing remarks.
Did you have?
I had one, but I don't have the individuals who wanted to have this change made. Yeah, is he coming? Okay. Do we have any more amendments, members? Any questions, any comments you have?
It had to do with this amendment, I think. Because we haven't done it.
You know what? Obviously, I can always, attempt to do this. Let me try. And then if we have too many questions, then I'll try on the floor, I suppose. But let's talk about the A16 amendment. Do you have it? Yes, we distribute it. So, members, I was approached to correct an issue that is somewhat problematic in a sense that special education directors have been required to have a teaching license. And so people who are... work with special needs kids are very, you know, torn about this issue because a teacher who works with a kid who's a special needs, who let's say is a physical therapist, a psychologist, a speech therapist, if they are offered the position of special education director, they have to also have a teaching license, is the argument here. So it is what the special education advocates are saying is that this is, you know, that it's a requirement that is not needed and that is an extra burden. And so I thought that it would be a good idea for us to correct that. So unfortunately, I don't have, I don't know if anybody in the audience wishes to testify. I understand that Mr. Lundell worked with several people, and Ms. Burr, are you here? Would you, are you, do you care to provide, you know, I don't, Senator Johnson.
I don't, you know, I don't profess to be able to understand what this, how, what impact this provision would have, but it strikes me that we need to hear from the groups that are discussed in here.
No, I agree.
The psychologists and social workers and then the principals and...
I agree.
Superintendent.
I agree, and that was, you know, I agreed to do this, but obviously they are not here, so. Ms. Berg.
Madam Chair, committee members, Jody Boer with Education Minnesota, and I wasn't the point person on this, but I'm happy to tell you what I do know about it. I also know that Brad is on his way over here from the House. I just got a text on that. He has met with Katie Perry, is the staff person at Education Minnesota, who works with a group of special education teachers, specialists, etc. And he ran this by her and that group and got their input. And they may have even actually helped develop this language, but I do know that they were okay with it.
That was my understanding,
yes.
And that's why I decided to bring it over, because yes. I understand that a lot of you have met and
yes.
talk about this and understand that this is needed and that the language that is before you, members, actually is, it's okay.
Yes, I can confirm that. I believe that he actually was even invited to a meeting with that group and walk through this with them, and they were all okay with it. I'm hoping he gets here to confirm that, but I can tell you that from our organization perspective and with that group, that they were okay with this, and I believe that they actually helped develop the language, Madam Chair, committee members.
So, members, if you could read this language and just let me know if you have any concerns. I mean, the language is pretty simple. It just simply says, you know, that that, and again, this is for special education directors.
Correct.
The requirement of, you know, if they, of course, they have to have a license for the on the, they have to be qualified license on the special practice, whether that's, you know, if they are psychologists or they are speech pathologists and all of that. So the issue is on the teaching license, correct?
Madam Chair, that's correct, committee members.
So if you feel comfortable, I would like to take the vote. Senator.
And here he is.
And here he is. Mr. Lundell. I wanted to offer you an amendment, but you disappeared. Senator Johnson.
I would like to be able to express something that I have a concern with before Mr. Lundell speaks so he can address.
Okay. Yes, Senator Johnson.
You know, I've been working with school counselors this year somewhat, and I noticed they're not in here, and I'm wondering if that's meant to be or if it's not appropriate or whatever.
Madam
Mr.
Chair.
Lundell, if you could start from the very beginning, kind of explain what this is about, because we really wanted you to explain, you know, why we're pursuing this, and Ms. Board just told us that you have come to consensus with several groups, but we need you to explain this.
Okay, Madam Chair, members of the committee, Brad Lundell with the Minnesota Administrators of Special Education. I was actually waiting for this exact amendment over in the House. I need to clone myself. So if you can take care of that amendment to the health care bill, please do that. So I would say the Board of School Administrators back in, I believe, 2008 came forward with new rules governing special education licensure. Special education administrators were added to superintendents and principals with a requirement of a teaching license and 3 years of teaching experience. There's a waiver process in there, but I've talked with Luis Sundin from the Board of School Administrators, and the rules were posted, but they were not very well publicized. And so what we've seen happen is that this has kind of taken the special education community by surprise. Now, granted, it shouldn't take 3 years for it to be a surprise, but that's the case. And I think that what we're doing here is trying to make certain that the special education, those three categories, who do not often have teaching licenses, would still be eligible to receive a special education license if they could demonstrate that they have had student contact time, that they have worked with teachers, that they have worked with parents. In my conversations with Ms. Sundin today, who's a member of the Board of School Administrators, they're a little bit uncomfortable with this language because they feel it steps on their toes. I wish she were here tonight so that we could reenact our conversation. But that's kind of we want to come to an agreement with this. I think you know, everyone who's heard me testify over the years knows my discomfort with the rulemaking process. But there are some concerns in the field that these three areas are now going to be on the outside looking in when it comes to getting special education administrative licenses, and many special ed administrators are coming from these three categories. In response to Senator Johnson's point, I honestly don't know on the counselor question how many of those counselors are actually seeking these licenses. It's something I can look into and get back with you, on that. I think that in talking with we've worked out this with Education Minnesota. I think in talking with Ms. Allswager, and I would hate to characterize our conversations inaccurately, but there is some wondering if there needs to be an actual contact hour number put in there to ensure that there are sufficient numbers there. But that's generally the gist of the amendment. And again, I was I was a bit surprised that you were coming with it, but I guess you told me that you were, and I don't know why I would be surprised.
We had time. I didn't think that we would, but we did. So Senator Johnson and Senator Nelson.
Madam Chair and Mr. Lundell, what about the Board of Teaching and the special education community and someone like Sue Abderholden?
Mr. Lundell.
Madam Chair, Senator Johnson, the Board of Teaching no longer governs these licenses. They go to the Board of School Administrators now. And thus, like I said, the Board of School Administrators is not particularly comfortable with this language. I would not characterize it any other way. And again, Ms. Sundin's not here, but if she is here.
And what about, Madam Chair, and what about the special ed community and someone like Sue Abderholden, who is, executive director of NAMI?
Mr. Lundell.
Madam Chair, Senator Johnson, I cannot speak for them in my work with Sue Abderholden. She works with a broad range of special ed directors, some of which come from these areas. School psychologists and school social workers often work in the areas of student mental health. Again, I can't speak for Ms. Abderholden, but the people that are seeking licenses here would be folks that would Again, I can't say for
actually,
certain.
Actually, Senator Johnson, this will facilitate their work because this is an extra, if I understand this correctly, Mr. Lindell, this is an extra step they have to take. So they are licensed, so the psychologist and the individuals that Ms. Afterholding works with are licensed. They have to be licensed. So this is an extra to become directors. They have to have this extra license, and that's what they are trying to facilitate here. So,
Madam Chair and members, I'm not professing to be able to ask the right questions because I haven't even talked with anyone about this. And it may be completely harmless, or maybe it's very, very good.
Right.
But I'd really like to wait a little bit.
Yeah, that's okay.
The votes.
That's okay, Senator.
I can always
feel that way. Mr. Lindell said it very clearly. You know, I think this is a good amendment. I thought we could take care of it. Unfortunately, I think people are surprised that we could take care of it because they thought we were going to go really late today. So I think they didn't expect us to do it. But Senator Nelson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Lindell, you actually got to the thing that bothered me about this amendment. I think I understand why this might be needed, and I agree with Senator Johnson. I'd like to see some data about are we having a hard time getting special education directors. But what I really noticed was that this just blank, they have experience. It's a very open thing without much qualifications with it. And it did a little bit bother me that at the end, you know, it's regardless if they've had any teaching experience or a teaching license. And I would say, well, I would like to know more about this and there might be a real need. I would feel uncomfortable supporting it tonight until I sense that. And I'm thinking particularly about school counselors. At least the last I knew, a school counselor had to have at least 2 years of teaching experience before they could be a counselor. So it just seems like this might be a little premature, at least for my vote today.
Yeah. Madam Chair, Senator Nelson, these support staff are folks that become licensed school psychologists and licensed social workers. Licensed school social workers and licensed speech pathology without a teaching license. A teaching license is not part of their preparation. As they move into schools, these are the people that are sitting on IEP teams. They're working elbow to elbow with teachers. Education Minnesota has several of these people as members. So, I mean, these are people that are working elbow to elbow with teachers on IEP process, student assessment. They're working with families in many cases. The issue is, I can't tell you for sure whether or not there's a shortage, but this does take a certain pool of people and say, now you've got to do an end run to get a license that you may be qualified for. And it's not like anybody just kind of walks in and says, I'm now going to get a special ed license. There is preparation that they have to take. It's just, and I certainly will try to get folks with you to talk about some of these, you know, this issue in greater detail from the field. That I can make
that
promise.
Thank you, Mr. Lindell. So until we do that, we're not going to move this amendment. We're going to table it because I think it's a fair request that we do bring
Absolutely.
People from the field who are in the practice who are doing this and who are concerned about this, and they should be here. They should be here if they needed this. So,
yeah, thank you.
I'm sorry we made you run, but now you have to run back to the house. It's a good exercise for you. Okay, members, any other questions, any other amendments, any other comments? Members, I wish to thank you for all the work that you've done and really for your passion and your commitment to kids. I very much hope that we do a lot of work during the interim. I am going to be doing a lot of work, and I know that I'm going to bring proposals that you probably will not like, but I will work with you, and I will do my very best to bring these to your attention and to win your support. I am very concerned about the achievement gap. I have been talking about achievement gap since I came to this country 26 years ago. And I'm still talking about those statistics. And I don't know if it is, you know, the transformation of Minnesota. When I moved to Minnesota, there was only one Latino restaurant in Minneapolis, if you can believe that. So I know that Minnesota has transformed.
I shouldn't ask you what year that was, Madam Chair.
87. 87. Not too long ago. But so I am very committed to that. That's the reason I ran for office, actually. And I hope that I can make a difference. And I know that you are, too. I know that you want to make a difference. And I hope that we can come up with good legislation, good ideas, good proposals that will bring Minnesota to where Minnesota belongs, which is we have had statistics that show that Minnesota has the best indicators of well-being for kids in the country for years and years and years. We still do. It's just that when we take minority children and low-income children out of that statistical number, then things change. So we have to come up with the ideas to change that. We live in a fantastic community in a wonderful state. I am so proud to be here with all of you and so thankful for all of the opportunities that I have been given. So I do feel that this is a great opportunity for all of us. So thank you for a spirited discussion, and I look forward to the next 3 years and look forward to visiting your community. We're going to have some meetings in wonderful places like Rochester, where, you know, being from a different nationality actually is an asset and not a deficit, where we have these fantastic, doctors and scientists who are doing amazing work, and we need to meet them. So I really would love an invitation, Senator.
You have it, Madam Chair. We'll just have to line up the dates.
Yes, and in your communities, we should definitely go and have a hearing during the interim, listen to those communities and find out what is that we need to do. So I look forward to that moment and to continue our conversation. Any other comments? If not, we move the A3 amendment, I guess, or what do we?
The Senate file.
Roll call.
Senate file. Senate file 978. Mm-hmm. All of those in favor. We move Senate file 978. We recommend it to pass and be referred to finance.
As amended.
As amended, be referred to finance.
Madam Chair, I'll call for a roll call.
Senator Nelson has called for a roll call.
We'll finally defer
the clerk will take your roll.
Because we have a position on the grid.
Senator Torres Ray.
Yes.
Senator Dahl.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. So I mean, that's what I'm saying.
Senator Nelson.
No.
Senator Carlson.
Yes.
Senator Chamberlain.
No.
Senator Clausen.
Yes.
Senator Franzen?
Yes.
Senator Johnson?
Yes.
Senator Kent?
Yes.
Senator Nienau?
No.
Senator Peterson?
No.
Senator Rood? Senator Thompson?
No.
Senator Wieger?
Yes.
Senator Wicklund?
Yes.
No idea.
Senator Dahl.
Yes.
Earlier than I thought.
And at 9-5, the motion is adopted. Thank you, members. Senator Nelson?
I'm a little late to the draw. I just want to say one comment about my no vote. The lack of either alignment or grad test caused me to vote no on this bill. I believe there still might be work to be done, and I'll work with either you or Senator Dahl on some ways to get us to where we are in alignment, which is the ACT alignment is good. But at this point, I could not support this bill not having any meaning to our diplomas. But I'm hoping that before it hits the floor, maybe we can get something that will allow us some sort of level of achievement with our diplomas.
Thank you, Senator. Senator Nelson, Senator Carlson, did anybody have it? Senator Dahl, did you have a comment?
Madam Chair and members, and excuse me for being absent for some of this. I have a bill up across the hall on energy, and I know that we've had the discussion, and Senator Nelson, I appreciate the offer to work with you on many of these issues. We've already proven that we can agree on some things, and so I welcome that. I look forward to your vote on the entire bill on the floor. If we do indeed find a little more common ground. Thank you.
Thank you very much, members. Thank you. Our meeting is adjourned.